listening to the Head in the Clouds podcast, a proud member of the Converge Podcast Network. Now to the man with his head constantly in the clouds, your host, Ryan Romeo.
That's right, English announcer lady, this is the Head in the Clouds podcast, the podcast dedicated to helping you get your God-given dream off the ground. My name is Ryan Romeo, and at the outset, just forgive me, I, for some reason, woke up a little scratchy. I don't have COVID. I feel like that needs to be said all the time now. Even though you're just listening to me over headphones, I know that people are just weird about it, and you're not going to be getting it over headphones, even if I do have it, but I don't have COVID. I'm just scratchy voice today. But this is the season where it's like, I don't have COVID, I promise. Like every time I cough or clear my throat. And every morning I have to do that all the time. I tell people it's so hard because it's just the way that I am. I wake up in the morning and I just have to clear my throat. And I never really thought about it until COVID. And now I look around and people are looking at me like, what do you, are you sick? I'm like, I'm not sick. I just, a little scratchy voice this morning. And in Phoenix, it's been really crazy because the weather, again, sorry, the weather's been really weird. It's been cold. We actually got snow in the valley. I don't know how rare it is. I feel like it was like the first time since like the 1930s. It's crazy. It's been, this morning I woke up and it was like in the 30s and, you know, maybe you're in a cold climate and you're like, Ryan, get over it. But for Phoenix, this is weird, and it's very rainy, which is great. We haven't had rain really like all year, so it's really awesome to get some rain, but I think it's just messing with my voice a little bit. But this is, I was looking back at it today. This is my 64th podcast, which, you know, it's funny. It doesn't feel like that many, but at the same time, it's been quite the journey. There's been a lot that's happened in the last, you know, 2.5 years since I started this podcast, maybe 3 years ago, 2.5 years, I think. And I started producing content for this. I talked about it last week. You know, I started producing content for this, because I was coming out with a new book and it called Head in the Clouds. And my publisher was like, hey, would you consider starting a podcast? Cause we think it's a great, you know, medium for communication. And then I got connected with the Converge Podcast Network, and that's the network I'm a part of right now. And so joined the Converge Podcast Network, and it was really awesome. And I thought, you know, I'll run one season of this podcast, but now all of a sudden, you know, 64 episodes in, and I'm starting to really realize how much I love it. I love podcasting. I love talking with you guys. I was saying last week that, you know, I have Instagram followers and I've got, you know, people that I talk to, but the audience that listens to this podcast, I feel like are my buddies. Like you guys are my friends. You get to know what I'm thinking. You get to know what I'm feeling. You get to know, I mean, I talked about the day that Outcry got canceled. That was really painful for me. And one of the first places I went to was this microphone to say, hey, I'm really bummed out. And if you didn't listen to that podcast, you should. It's really good. If you want to, you know, hear from somebody who is going through losing something that they had dreamed about for a long time, that's me. That was me processing in real time with you guys. But, you know, this is an interesting podcast for me because I work as a pastor in a church. So I love talking about biblical things. I love talking about theological things. I love talking about worship and creativity and those sort of things. But I also like to talk about kind of just basic leadership skills, things like that. I mean, those are things that I really gravitate toward. I love, I nerd out on. And taking dreams off the ground really requires you to grow in your leadership, grow in your communication, which we'll talk about today, grow in your relationship with God, grow in what you think can and can't be done. You have to blast through barriers of weird identity where you have unhealthy identity anchors is what I call them, where you're anchoring your identity into things that are not God, things that are shifting and moving. When you're pursuing God-given dreams, when you're pursuing something deep down in you, you have to crash through all of those things. And it's part of the reason why I really love this podcast. It's part of the reason why I really love talking about the subjects that I talk about. And last week, I felt like there was a real prophetic sort of bent to what we were talking about. And by that, I mean this, you know, prophetic and maybe words of knowledge is a better way to say it, but really asking the Lord, okay, what are you saying to this audience? And I've been thinking a lot about that and going, okay, in season three, I want to dive into that more. We're going to get into the three ways that we communicate. That's what we're going to talk about today. This is some practical things we're going to hit. Different ways that we communicate. Some of us communicate, you know, can find our camp in two or three out of these three. But there's one that's real dominant for us, and we're going to talk about those. But before we get there, I was praying this morning, and to be real vulnerable with you guys, I've been going through a really hard season. And you're like, you know, join the club, right? And it's the end of 2020. We were in a very large, hard season. I totally get it. For me personally, this has been a real season of, like last week, I was talking about how I felt like the Lord was really in the season bringing dark things to light, you know, not allowing us to stay where we're at, that 2020 is not an excuse for inactivity. 2020 is not the thing that keeps us down. What we went through in 2020, and I'll just speak for me personally, what I went through in 2020 was a real death to self, was a real like shaking of everything that I felt like was reliable and safe. And I crashed into things like, you know, do I put a lot of faith in America? Well, yeah. I mean, I go to the grocery store and I expect there to be groceries there. I go, you know, I flip on the light and I expect, you know, and that's not unique to America, but I'm just saying it, the structure of America, you know, like all of that. I also put real trust in the structure and consistency of the church. And again, I work at a church. So when we stopped doing Sunday mornings, which we've been doing Sunday mornings for a long time now, but when we stopped doing them initially and we were all trying to get our bearings, it really was an unnerving time for me. And then I think this last week, for me, it was like now I'm diving into a bit of personal holiness, personal set apartness, personal consecration of myself and going, okay, Lord, what in me in 2020 can't stick around in 2021? And I think you guys know what I'm saying. It's like, what part of me that I haven't worked on in a while, what part of me that I've just been excusing away, what part of me that I haven't been confronting, do I need to confront in 2021? And I'll be honest, you guys, this has been, you know, for our church at Living Streams here in Phoenix, it's been a real death to self. And every January I go through that. We do a fasting season. We don't do it because all the other churches do it. We've been doing it for a long time, as long as I've been here, at least, you know, 10, 12, 15 years. And every January is a fasting month. And I don't fast food the entire time. But every Wednesday we fast food, which I'm recording this podcast. I'm pretty hungry right now. we fast food and we seek the Lord. And it's a big deal. And the Lord does a lot of big things through that and through that consecration. And I've been reading a book and I would really recommend it. It's called The Gift of Being Yourself, by David Brenner. And, this is, we'll get to the practical stuff in a minute, but this is what I was praying about this morning going, okay, Lord, what is it that you want me to speak to this audience? What do you want me to speak to anybody that's listening? And this book is just so interesting because he's talking about how we have to accept ourselves. which he says Christians don't like that. That, you know, that sounds like we're excusing it away, going, I accept, you know, my sin, and I accept, you know, like that I'm just going to be like this. You be you, you know, like we run it through the filter of what the world says about acceptance. But he said, no, we need to accept all the pieces about ourselves, even our sin, our brokenness, the things that are a part of us. We have to accept those things. And yes, we are called to crucify ourselves. We're called to lay down our sin nature and all of those things. But he said this phrase that I was like, oh my gosh, it's so good. He said, you can't crucify what you don't own. And you have to own some things about yourself. And I was feeling that this morning for people listening to this podcast, like sin, you know, unhealthy habits, things that you know, maybe even unhealthy ways that you're interacting with people at work or, you know, in your family or whatever it is, unhealthy things that happen to you, you know, in your family. Those are the things that you have to really, there's this part of you that has to own it and say, yes, this is a part of who I am. And now I'm going to crucify that. And I'm going to ask the Lord for redemption over that area. And I think that as a culture, we don't do that well. So we get into the theology of sin avoidance. We get into that theology of really, I mean, honestly, as Jesus put it, we get into this whitewashed tomb sort of pattern in life where we're like, we just need to cover up and we need to hide. But we need to really be fully ourselves. And this is something that honestly, I think this is a little bit of my next book, honestly. There is a real art and a real gift in knowing who you are, what you're gifted in doing, what you're weak in, what you're strong in, and understanding that that is a different facet. Like the redeemed version of you is this sort of different facet of God's character. There's something so beautiful and unique about you. Something so unique about you that there's never been and there never will be anybody exactly like you. There just won't be. And in Ephesians 3, I don't want to get too far into it, but it's like Ephesians 3, it says, you know, the manifold wisdom of God is displayed to the heavenly realm through the church. What does that mean? That means that the manifold, meaning this multifaceted, like there's so many different facets to God's character. I love the song, So Will I. At the end, it says like, I've seen your heart 8 billion different ways. Each, you know, child, one you've died to save. But it's a different facet of God's character. Each one of us carries that. And the church, when it's operating in the unique diversity that it's called to operate in, teaches angels and the heavenly realm about the character or the manifold wisdom of God. And that's an unbelievable thing. And so that means you being yourself is so important, because you being yourself means a redeemed version of yourself, you operating in who you're called to be, in that original design that you're meant to be operating in. When you do that, you reflect a different facet of God's character that we need to see in the church and that the heavenly realm learns about God's character through. And so my word for us today, like I was praying this morning and I'm like, you know what, Lord, I think this is something for people that are listening. You can't crucify what you don't own. So there's some things that in your life that are not right. And you need to bring them to the light however you need to. You need to set them aside and you need to crucify the things that you're like owning, going, yeah, this is something that is a part of me, part of my sin nature. I get it. I see it for what it is, and I'm going to crucify it. And it's a powerful thing, and I'm just praying for power over you guys. This morning, I was really praying that you would be able to own some of these things, own up to them, bring them to the light, pursue the next thing that God has for you in 2021, because God has something for you in 2021. We are not called to pause. This is what I was saying last podcast. Like, everything is shifting around us, but the Lord is asking us to move forward, to step into the things that He wants us to step into. And to do that, we really have to die to ourselves. We really have to set ourselves apart. And we really have to just say yes with faith, knowing that God is with us. He's behind us. And today I want to talk about, and that's, you know, that's it. That's my, last week I ended with a prophetic word. This week I just wanted to start with it. I think it's so important. And I think it feeds into what we're going to really talk about today, the kind of nuts and bolts of how you communicate. I've been listening to this YouTube video channel. I even hesitate to bring it up because it's a bit cheesy. Some of the videos on there are like, you know, how to get people to flirt with you. And some of them are just real cheesy. And the title is real cheesy. It's a YouTube video called Charisma on Command. Not Christian guys, you know, for sure. But what's interesting is they really do this dive into what do charismatic people do? What can we learn from them? What can we learn from people who are not very charismatic or create real awkward moments in rooms? What can we learn from them? And there's a real, for me, I nerd out on that sort of stuff. Like, what is it about those people, you know? And probably because I'm like an introvert and I'm like amazed at people who are like so charismatic in front of people. And that's really never been one of my big strengths. But this channel is interesting because it's helping me grow and be a little bit more self-aware, growing in my EQ, growing in my emotional intelligence, figuring out, okay, well, when I say that, people feel this. And when this happens, this is, you know. And one of the things they said in there, and I didn't have the full context, but it really was, honestly, it was life-changing for me. He said, some people communicate and they have ideas that run through their head, and they communicate those ideas. He said other people, he called them, are kinesthetic communicators. And kinesthetic communicators feel feelings and then try to translate them to words. They really think in feelings, which is weird. And maybe that's you and you're like, yeah. Maybe that's not you and you're like, how does that work? That is 100% me. Like I feel this sort of complicated emotion and then I try to figure out how to communicate that complicated emotion. So when I preach a sermon, I will read, let's say I read a story about John. I did a sermon a while back about the tabernacle, about that's the thing that Jesus said. He said, you know, if you go to offer your offering to God and you're at the altar and there remember that you have a problem against your brother, go work it out with him first and then come back and give your offering. And I started to like dissect, okay, what was it like to give an offering? Well, it was crazy. You had to walk miles most likely to go to the tabernacle, the one place on earth. Yes, there were like kind of local, you know, Jewish chapters around, but ultimately you needed to go to the temple to sacrifice and atone for your sins. You had one place to go in Jerusalem and you would walk and you'd be wearing sandals and it would be dusty and you'd be with your whole family. You'd be carrying 10% of your crops or 10% of, you know, whatever it was. You'd be bringing your animals for sacrifice, all of those things. You'd risk going through areas where people would rob you, maybe unsafe areas. Your kids would be fighting. You'd be getting there. You'd have to figure out a place to stay in Jerusalem. You would get to Jerusalem, maybe you had family there. You're staying with them. You're crammed in, you know, like a little 500 square foot at the most little place. And you probably have 18 people staying there. Then you get up and early in the morning, you go wait in line with everybody else who's been doing the exact same thing. You wait for hours or even days to get up to the front. You finally get there. You put your animals out. You give them to the priests. And then you realize that you got into an argument with somebody. And you go, stop, stop everything. I need to go work this out. And I imagined what it was like. What you know, what would the priests do? they would probably look at you like you're insane. What would everyone behind you do? They'd probably groan and throw things at you because they're like, I need to get up there and do my thing. Like, this is not a practical sort of thing. And so when I read that before my sermon, I was like, that's making me feel a lot of feelings. And even just now, like I walked us through the story, but I felt the feelings right away. And then I had to back solve and go, okay, how did I get to this point? What am I feeling? And part of it was I had to tell the story. Part of it was I had to really put myself in the place of the people in that season. I was feeling feelings and I had to communicate them. The problem is when you feel feelings and you try to communicate them, you stumble on your words a lot. You don't say it right the first time. You don't say it right the second time. You don't say it right the third time. You're really just honing in on communicating the feelings that you're feeling in real time. I think there are a lot of communicators that I see that kind of do that, you know. I think actually Stephen Furtick is one of those guys. When I watch him, he's speaking words, but he's feeling things from the Holy Spirit, and he's trying to, in real time, translate them to the room. For communicators that are really good at that, it's really powerful. It's really amazing. For communicators that are not real good at that, they might feel like they're good at it, and they go, man, I just communicated that in the best way possible, and everyone in the room is confused.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now, a message from a network supporter.
Let me go through these three. So these are the three ways that I was looking at it going, okay, kinesthetic communicator, that's me for sure. I'm feeling feelings. I'm trying to communicate them. And I thought, okay, well, there's other communicators that I've come across that are different than me. And first, I think there are the communicators that think thoughts. Number one, there are communicators that think thoughts. They sit down, they study an idea, they read a book, they watch some YouTube videos, they gain some knowledge, and then they communicate it. The communicators that think thoughts really spend a lot of time studying. They want to hone in. They want to become an expert in a certain area. They're aware of, you know, when they have knowledge gaps, they're jumping in going, I don't feel confident communicating this idea yet because I haven't thought all the thoughts around it. You know, there's this thought tree pattern that they have to complete. They have to come fully around. They have to argue with themselves until they get to the point where they go, I have a lock solid idea and now I'm going to communicate it. Most, I think, professors are like this. I think they really enjoy the studying part. They really enjoy the knowledge part. They really enjoy communicating from a place of strength and understanding. And that's awesome. But communicators that think thoughts, when they put all their thoughts together, they've got everything in a nice, neat bow. Then they come out and they communicate. Let's say you're communicating to a board of elders or a board of executives that you're trying to communicate an idea, pitch an idea for a dream, something like that. When you're a think thoughts sort of communicator, you come into that room real confident and you go, I've got all my bases covered. And then the people in the room ask you a question that you didn't think about because you mistakenly thought through all of your studying that you've covered all your bases. Then somebody comes in and goes, what about this? Because they're different than you. They think differently than you. And it may not even seem like it's something that's important to you. You have to be so careful in moments like that. So when you're giving a sermon or something, if you're a think thought sort of person, great. You've got it all tied up in a bow. When that person after service comes up to you and says, hey, what about this thing? It may throw you off. And this is when you're going to start going into some sort of backup style. You're going to start bringing out the worst of yourself. So let's say you're in that board of elders meeting or something like that, and you've come up with this lock solid thing. And then you get to the table, you bring out all of these ideas, and then somebody shoots a hole in it. the think thoughts communicator is going to have a real hard time thinking on their toes. So what do you do? I think humility is key. If you're this sort of communicator, humility is key. And it's key in everything in life, but where you de-escalate a situation before people think that you, and you're going to come up against all these thoughts of like, oh man, maybe I didn't study enough or whatever. What you have to do is in that moment, create some self-acceptance and say, hey, that's a really good point. I haven't really thought about that. You know, why don't you email me later this week? Give me some time to think about it. The think thoughts communicator has to figure out very authentic, humble ways to communicate. Hey, I may not know the answer to that question. Give me a little bit of time. You may think you're sitting in a board of directors meeting or something like that, and that answer is a wrong answer. And there are some people that are real type A, like, tell me the answer now. But what you need to do is go, gosh, that's a really great thought. I have not really thought through that completely. Give me a little bit of time. Let me write something up. I'm going to send it to you, you know, in the next couple of days. Let me think about it. You have to create a buffer space so that you could think, because that's how you communicate. You're communicating from a bank of knowledge. And when that bank of knowledge runs out, you're going to freak out just a little bit on the inside. That's okay. Just gain some time for yourself. Gain some time for yourself. So that's that communication style, the think thoughts communicator. The second kind of communicator is the say words communicator. This may seem kind of funny. You're like, well, you're communicating. Of course you're saying words. Yes and no. The say words communicator is what we would call a verbal processor. They need to talk to know what they think. Which for the think thoughts communicator, this is going to be like, what? No, you don't say anything unless you've thought it through. Well, no, you can. The say words communicator, and I fall in this camp sometimes. I really do. There's a lot of processing that I do verbally. But the say words communicator has to speak out loud to hone their ideas in. That means you might say some things that aren't true or aren't right. And you need to understand that about yourself. So for a say words communicator, let's say you're preparing for a sermon or you're preparing to go speak to, you know, some sort of board of directors. You need somebody safe in your life that can sit down and listen to you talk. And if you say something blasphemous or you say something that's not right, they need to be there and go, hey, I wouldn't say it like that. You know, like, and a lot of times those say words communicators, as it's coming out of their mouth, they are realizing in real time that's right or that's not right. But until it comes out of their mouth, they don't know. My friend Joel is this kind of guy. If he gave a sermon, he needed somebody to sit in the room and he would give that sermon to that person several times. So most of the time it was his wife, Kristen. He'd sit down with Kristen and go, here's my sermon. And she'd go, okay, that's good. You know, then a couple of days later, he's like, okay, here's my sermon again. And she'd go, okay, well, that was good, but, you know, work on this. And if you are a say words communicator, you have to figure out safe places to verbally process. And you need to understand that you probably give yourself allowances that maybe other people don't. So if you're looking to just shoot off the cuff, show up at a like an elders meeting or a, you know, some sort of directors meeting, and you want to just shoot the breeze and chat it up and process verbally with them, you're putting yourself at risk a little bit. You really need to do that with someone safe before you get into a place where you're in a context that's consequential. So don't just go off the cuff on a Sunday morning if you're preaching a sermon. You may say, and it's actually fairly likely that you'll say something that's not true, that you don't even agree with, that comes out of your mouth, and you go, why did I say that? Or why did I, because you're verbally processing, you need to do that beforehand. You know, you really need to do that beforehand and hone in on what are the things that I truly believe, and then write those things down, remember those. Once you've verbally processed, you're going to be a lot clearer in the next phase of communication. Which brings us to the third communication style that I see, and this is me in a lot of ways. You feel feelings. The feel feelings communicator is really complicated. There's someone on staff. I won't call them out on the podcast for sure. But there's someone on staff with me that is absolutely a feel feelings communicator. A lot of people in the church world, in the pastoral world, and you don't see me, but I'm using pastoral in sort of quotations. Pastoral meaning in the true sense. A lot of times in the American church, and I just think this is a little bit of BS. I hate it. We use pastor as if like you've moved up in the organization. No, pastoral giftings are a real part. And I did a podcast. I don't know how long ago, but I did a podcast about the fivefold ministry. There are people that truly are pastors. Not that they are the leaders of the church. They are people that hurt for other people. Their empathy level is extremely high. They love people. They dive deep into their lives. And a lot of those pastors are feel feelings communicators. They feel feelings. They feel what people are saying, feel what they're going through. And what happens with these sort of communicators is these are some of the, ironically, some of the worst communicators out there. Because they're feeling feelings and they're trying to wrap words around them. And in their own mind, they're going, yes, this is exactly what I want to say. But what comes out of their mouth is not what people hear. And they have to really grow. And because this is mostly me, I'm a feel feelings and a little bit of say words, you know, like I have to verbally process a little bit. I have to not, and this is so key, again, coming back to humility. I cannot lean on this idea that the first way that I communicate an idea is the best way. So feel feelings communicators, you have to work on communicating and over-communicating what you think is what you feel like so if you've got a feeling and you've communicated it and you think you did a great job, you probably didn't. You need to come back around and communicate it in a different way. And that's been something that honestly with this podcast has really helped me do. Like I will think a thought or feel a feeling and I'll go, okay, the best way to communicate that is this. But then I'll go, okay, but what's another way to communicate it? And it's so funny because it's ironic that I honestly am having a harder time explaining the feel feelings communicator than I am of anybody else because it's me. I'm like, oh, gosh, it's so hard for me to explain it. But if you're a feel feelings communicator, you know, you feel feelings that are really strong. You bring them to the table. And I'm just going to call this out. 80% of the time, you feel like people don't get you. You feel like people don't understand what you just said. Now, the temptation for the feel feelings communicators is to think that everyone around them sucks and that they're great. I'll just call it out. That the problem is not them, the problem is everybody else. I'm going to tell you right now, the problem is you. And it's not that there's something wrong with you. Again, okay, maybe that's the wrong way to say it. It's not that the problem is you, but the onus on growth is on you to be aware of yourself and to understand that if you feel feelings and you communicate them to a room and people aren't following you, you need to come back around on that and go, okay, that was the best way I could say it, but let me say it like this. And then let me say it like this. I feel like I've developed a real sense of self-awareness now where I watch people's faces and I go, she gets it, he doesn't get it, she gets it, he doesn't get it. And I always fight the temptation to point the finger at the people who don't get it. And I go, if they don't get it, that's my fault. I need to figure out a better way to say it. But this is one of the more complicated communication styles. But when you slow yourself down enough, when you feel a feeling, you communicate it in multiple different ways, you become one of the most effective communicators. And again, this sounds very self-serving because that's me. But I do think that those communicators that can work really hard on honing their feelings down and communicating them, communicate this sort of the divine spark of revelation starts to tick in people's minds, and they go, oh, interesting. When you can make people feel the feelings that you're feeling, then you start to activate people. And if you have a think thoughts person in the room and they're feeling now what you're feeling, then they will bring better words to the table than you could. And that's where, as a team, you start to go, oh, wow, that's so cool. You know, you start to pick up from each other these different strengths. But that's the last one for me. So think thoughts communicators, you know, they are studying, they're trying to gain knowledge, communicating from a knowledge base. Say words communicators are trying to figure out that knowledge base by talking. And they're just trying to figure it out, hone in on what it is till it sounds right in their ears. And then they go, oh, yeah, that's what I think. Which, again, the think thoughts communicators and the say words communicators are going to be a little bit of oil and water. They're going to have a real hard time. Honestly, the think thoughts communicators are going to have a hard time working with the other two communication styles. And if you put yourself in the think thoughts category, you're just going to have to realize, hey, there might be a couple other, you know, like I might be the minority in the room who has to build this huge knowledge base. Depends on where you're at, what industry you're at. If you're in a college university and you're a professor, chances are most of you are the think thoughts communicators. You're coming from knowledge base, you know. If you're in a, you know, just in the workplace or, you know, in a church environment or whatever, you're going to come across a bunch of different kind of people than you if you are a think thoughts communicator. But they're communicating out of a knowledge base. Say words communicators are really verbally processing. They're trying to communicate from what sounds good to their ear. So they're going to have to talk it out. They're going to say some wrong things. They're going to say some things that they don't even agree with to get to the gold of what they love and what they agree with and how to best communicate it. And the feel feelings communicators, you guys are just going to have to work really hard in your communication. Not everybody is feeling what you feel. Not everybody has the same sort of emotional base that you have. You're communicating out of an emotional base, not a knowledge base. And it's gonna cause you to have to slow down and over communicate your feelings to people. So that's it. That's the podcast for today. Hopefully, I wasn't rambling on too much. I went on a little bit longer than normal. But thank you guys so much for being with me, following with me in 2021. Make sure and jump on Instagram at Ryan Romeo. I'm gonna get back in there. You know, I've honestly been away from Instagram for a while, and it's been a little bit of even the personal holiness in my life of going, okay, I don't find my value in the crowd anymore. And again, I'm just being real vulnerable with you guys. You guys get the most vulnerable version of me, but I'm not following the crowd. I don't care. You know, I've got 203,000 followers. And I run these stupid things in my head, like, what if I drop under 200,000 followers? Who cares, Ryan? It's stupid. That's it never mattered before. It doesn't matter now. So I've been taking a real sabbatical away from social media. I'm going to be jumping back in. And in a lot of ways, I think I'm going to be jumping back in a lot more honest sort of place. But yeah, jump on Instagram, DM me there. Check out the Head in the Clouds book on Amazon. I think it's still at Barnes & Noble, which is just always amazing whenever I see it. My kids always run over to the Christian section. They're like, Daddy, your book's still here. It's fun. I love that. So I love that book. I really stand behind it. I think it's great. I think it's good, helpful. All the stuff we talk about in this podcast, stuff we talk about in that book. But all of you, please keep your head in the clouds. Keep fighting to keep that dreamer alive in 2021. And keep your feet on the ground too. Know where you're at. Stay grounded. Trust the Lord. Love you guys. Until next week.
Thanks for listening to Head in the Clouds with Ryan Romeo. For more information about this show, visit convergepodcastnetwork.com.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.